This program is paid for by Good News in Real Estate. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Good News in Real Estate or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. This program has been pre-recorded.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. It's good news in real estate. If you're a homeowner, if you're selling a home, or perhaps purchasing a home or vacation property, welcome to our home. It's good news in real estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
Your hosts for the next radio hour, the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaris, along with real estate veteran and owner-operator of the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes,
Mark Cumberland. Your real estate education starts right now. It's Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
All right, good afternoon. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate, here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaris. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Mark.
And there's that crowd. So we're excited to be here every Saturday, 1 o'clock here on Talk Radio 1210. We're the only real estate show in town, so you should tune in every week to find out what's going on. If you have any questions, give us a call. My number is 267-266-5501. What's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
There's a lot going on with real estate, but the pub media don't talk about it. And we're the only game in town, and you need to know it's a great time to buy, and it's the best time ever to sell. And you can listen to this show and past shows at our webpage, goodnewsinrealestate.com, and also at WPHT's website. So what's coming up today?
Coming up on today's show, Mark, we have the market report.
Yes.
We have our business tips with Asking Dr. A. And, of course, we have Mark's funny story.
Got one for you.
We have our mortgage mom topic today. And, Mark, I'm going to finish. I have two. Last week we did the top 10 questions to ask when buying a home. I have two left. I'm going to cover that, and then I want to go over some first-time home buyer mortgage programs with down payment assistance.
All right.
We also have our questions. I have $20,000 for a down payment, but only have a 549 credit score. Can I get approved for a home? The next one is, the seller of a house refused to let a prospective buyer see all the rooms in the house. Next question is, what do I do when the home seller is not ready to close the deal on closing day? My closing day is coming up. Next question, last question is, what can happen if my partner lied on marital status to the title company? She put single when she bought and single when she sold it. All right. It'll be an issue. Mark, our topic of the day today is five sweet tax deductions when selling a home. Did you take them all?
Yeah, I bet a lot of people didn't.
But first, give us your motivational quote.
And the motivational quote, luck is not chance, it is toil. Fortune's expensive smile is earned. So you got to get in the game.
No risk it, no biscuit.
So where are we at?
So Mark, we are up to the market report.
And there is the bell. And just like we predicted, rents are going up in Philly. Last year, remember 2 years ago, they were at $1,700 for a one-bedroom citywide. Then they went to $1,800. Now they're up 21% for a one-bedroom apartment, according to the new data from Rent.com. Average one-bedroom rent now in Philadelphia citywide is $2,000 a month. And a two-bedroom is only $2,200, which doesn't make any sense to me. So it's only $200 more for a two-bedroom.
Wow.
So the 48% of Philly renters out there better buy soon, because this is just keep going. It's going up faster than I thought.
It's out of control.
I thought we'd be at $1,900 this year. and we're already at $2,000 for a one bedroom citywide. Now, we're a city of neighborhoods. Of course, there's going to be some neighborhoods where you can get a cheaper one. But I'm telling you, I run into a lot of students that are paying that much a month or more, you know, and $2,000 a month. I mean, you're talking about what? $400,000 house.
And the problem is, Mark, you know what else we run into is people don't even know what a mortgage payment looks like. I'll bet if you took your class and you asked them what a $200,000 house would be, you know, at 6.5%, what's that mortgage payment look like? And they have no idea.
No, most have no clue. No clue whatsoever. And when I talk about the what the rent is, and I've been telling them $1,800 a month, and they're like in shock. Now it's $2,000 a month, and it's going to go up.
Right.
With this inflation, Joe's plan is not working. So I've noticed recently other
usual and people are starting to realize that.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's, because of the boomers, there's some of them are hanging in there because they got teased with that 3% rates, and now we're at 6. But it, 6 is a great rate historically. I mean, rates run 18 to 14% average. Over his dirt. So, right. So you know, some people are sitting a little tighter because they don't want to move, but they don't realize it's the best time ever to sell. So if you're ever going to cash in and make a move, it's going to be end up being a wash anyway, because your where you buy is probably going to appreciate, because we're one of the markets that are still appreciating. We're not really going down in price. I see some realtors on Facebook, prices are dropping. I'm like, where? Because every zip code I'm looking at, they're not. You know, I'm just the one this week.
The ones that are, you know, and the ones that are dropping a little bit, it's because they were overinflated to begin with. So
Yeah. The two big mistakes sellers make is picking the price, and some of them shoot for the moon. It has to appraise, and then they end up coming down, or it doesn't appraise, and then there's only a couple choices. You either come down to the appraisal price or buyer comes up with more cash. But local price increases over the past 2 years has hit a point where it reduced the pool of buyers, and those prices, they're starting to be balanced out sometime in 23. But it reduced that pool of inventory because prices kept appreciating. Another reason the market stability is the employment in our areas remains steady. The one thing about Philly is we're not tied to one industry like Detroit or like the car industry.
Right.
You know, Philly is really big for hospitals, colleges, tourism. Tourism's a little bit of a problem now with our crime rate. We're on the national news like every 2 weeks. But
every day.
If they could get that under control. I mean, there's one council person I saw this week talking about car stops and if it was equity and or equal car. I mean, they are so out of touch with what the average taxpayer, what does a taxpayer really want? A cop when they call, a fireman when their house is in fire, when they're fire, their trash picked up, and a rec center for their kids to, that's about the biggest involvement most taxpayers have with city government.
Right.
And most of these council people and this crazy mayor, they're like all on this fringe stuff that most of us are never involved with.
It's the 1% again.
I know, it's disgusting. So anyway, since the new year, we were getting more inventory, but we dropped again last week to like 3,000 actives in the whole city of over 600,000 houses. So the sellers out there, I'm telling you, I'm listing one of a quad this week. I know it's going to go like right away because there's no inventory.
Yeah.
It is the best time ever to buy.
And so, it's the best time to sell. And I know you don't believe me, but I am ready. I am ready to sell. I'm ready. It's over.
Buying, I mean, even if the rate's a little low, I mean, a little higher, even if you're close to 6, it's not going to stay at 6, and it's not going to be for 30 years.
Right. You know, correct.
Are we ever going to get down to 3? I don't think so.
No. No, we're not.
But we'll probably be down in the 4s.
We will. That's
mid-4s. I seen a thing by Gary Cower, and he was talking about that. And he doesn't think we could. But you never know. Like, I never would have predicted 2.2 on a refi?
I know.
Really? Somebody would have said that to me years ago, I went, what? So tell us about the rates.
All right. Today we're looking at a 30-year fixed at 6.75%. Your 15-year is at 5.875%. Your FHA is 6.25%. And your VA follows that as well, 6.25%. You know, still a great time to do a refinance, take out some of that equity, buy a second home, pay off that 32% credit card, and, you know, let's get you back in the game.
Yeah, really. There's opportunities no matter what kind of market we're in. You just got to have a little knowledge. That's the problem. That's why 48% of Philly's running, which I'm going to have to now check that number because that might have gone up. And I think it is going to go up because they're building tons of rental units.
Right.
So anyway, with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive all the time. We'll be right back.
On behalf of the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, we hope you're enjoying Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland. The Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, not here for our profit, here for yours.
Hey, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive, all the time. So we're at the end.
So Mark, we are up to your funny story.
Now this is the kind of, this story goes along with what Dr. A does, Abelson does at the end of our show every week on the business segment. So this company, feeling it's time for a shakeup, hires a new CEO. And this new boss is determined to rid the company of all the slackers. On a tour of the facilities, the CEO notices a guy leaning against the wall, and the room is full of workers, and he thinks this is his chance to show everybody he means business. So the CEO walks up to this guy, and he asks, how much money do you make a week? And on undaunted, young fellow looks at him, replies, I make about $200 a week. He goes, why? The CEO then hands the guy $200 cash and screams, here's a week pay, now get out and don't come back. I'm feeling pretty good about his first firing. The CEO looks around the room. He goes, anyone know what that slacker did here anyway? And with an uncontrollable grin, one of the other workers mutters, he was the pizza delivery guy.
That's a good one.
Dr. Ray's been talking about these CEOs and how they make bad hires. And that's kind of bad management.
Exactly. If you have a funny story, send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call, 267-266-5501.
So now it is time for the Mortgage Mom segment from Deanne Katsaris from Green Tree Mortgage. And she's continuing her top 10 questions to ask when buying a home.
So last week, Mark, we I think we got up to 7. So I never get a chance to finish a segment because you and I both go on a rant, which is great. But I want to make sure that they have this information. So the next question, I should look for when walking through a home. So we went through, you know, what do you need to look for as far as a community? What do you need to do as far as getting your ducks together? Questions you should ask a realtor, communities, lifestyle, things like that. So the next one is, what should I look for when I'm actually walking through a home to see it with my realtor? So the next one is there enough room for both the present and the future? So if it's just a husband and wife, or maybe you're engaged, you know, are you planning on having children? Is there going to be enough bedrooms and bathrooms for now and also in the future? The next question is the house structurally sound? You know, if you're somebody, not mentioning any names, but if you're somebody that maybe has a band in the basement or likes to play loud music, you know, out by the pool or even inside the house. Is it sound, right? Soundproof, but is it structurally a solid foundation? The next one is, did the mechanical systems and appliance all work? So washer machine, dryer, dishwasher, oven, stove, refrigerator, you know, do all the systems and the appliances, are they in working order? And that's important because when you have an FHA appraisal done, they're going to want to make sure that the stove and the air conditioner and the heat work. Those are some of the major mechanical systems when it comes to FHA financing. The next question is the yard big enough? You know, are you planning on entertaining in the backyard? Do you have dogs? Are you going to have children that are going to be running around in the backyard? So you have to think about this, and you have to look into the future and not just the present. The next one is, do you like the floor plan? Like, I know for our next house, we want to be just on one floor. We don't really want to do steps. Not because we're old. It's just easier in the areas that we're looking to have everything on the first floor.
Well, you would hate the convent, because my house, it's brutal, man. I mean, there's like unbelievable. All you got to do is, I think, just go from my basement to my deck maybe three times, and you did enough workout for the day.
All right. The next one is, will your furniture fit into the space? So if you're planning on buying all new furniture, that's great. Just make sure you don't go out and get a credit card while you're going through the pre-approval process. But, the current furniture that you have, is it going to fit? And is there enough storage space? You know, that's important for us, because I have Christmas decorations, since from my grandparents. And there's no way that I'm getting rid of them. So I have to have enough storage space. Unlike my husband wants to, don't you have enough stuff? Can't we just get rid of some of it? No, it's all sentimental. The next one is, does anything need to be repaired or replaced? And that's upon moving in, because eventually, if you're going to be in this house for a while, the great thing is that, you're going to want to replace things. Things are going to need to be repaired. So think about it as you're moving into the house, and also down the line. Will the seller repair or replace any of the items? And if you don't ask,
the answer is no.
So when you're having that home inspection done, or you're walking through the property, those are things that you want to ask. Imagine the house in good weather, and imagine the house in bad weather. And also in each season, are there a lot of trees around? If there's a big storm, are any of the trees going to come crashing down? What about bad weather? Like, where are the electrical lines? Things like that. So there's a lot of things that you need to take into consideration. And how do you like the neighborhood? Drive around at different times of the day. Talk to people that live there. Actually walk around the block. There's nothing like going out on, to go visit a neighborhood on a Saturday night and see what's going on, and different times of the day, just to get a feel for everything that's going on. Is there anything you want to add to that, Mark?
Well, the one thing about getting rid of stuff, the old rule I go by is, if you haven't touched it in 2 years, you don't need it.
So that could apply to things on my desk.
Mark's right. Been going and through all my closets in our house. He got rid of so much stuff that hasn't been touched.
I bet.
I got tons.
Did you get rid of all your band uniforms or your...
Nothing musical ever goes.
Okay.
No, that's all bad. That's out of bounds.
All right, Mark, next question. How long will I be living in this home? Are you starting a family? Did you just get out of school? Or are you an empty nester? Next question is not coming up for me, but how many homes should I consider before choosing one? So visit as many as you need to find the right one. Some people find a great home immediately, but for others, it takes time. So take your time. It's a big decision. I remember when my husband and I first started looking at homes, we fell in love with this house in New Jersey. And we just couldn't afford it at the time. It was just completely out of our price range. And then we kept looking and looking. And 2 years later, we got the blueprints for this house. We went to different neighborhoods thinking maybe we could build it. It would be cheaper. After 2 years of trying to actually do that, we went back and we're like, wait, this is the same price as the house that we were looking at. So we ended up buying that one, which was a big decision, and it was great. We've been there 26 years. So my house is going on the market soon. if anybody's interested.
Yeah, right. I'll believe it when I say it. The convent. It was the first house I looked at. When I bought this.
Oh, somebody's calling me. They want my house.
They want your house.
You hear that?
They're going to be disappointed as you bail out again.
I'm not bailing. Anyway.
No, you just love that $22,000 a year taxes in New Jersey. You just love it.
Okay, so now nobody's going to call, and they are not $22,000.
25?
No, they're under 19. But the school district is amazing. We have professional athletes that have come out of our high school.
Yeah, it's great.
Eli Apple, all kinds of people.
Yeah. And it costs $50,000 a student.
Will you stop?
Well, Philadelphia, when I was back in City Council back in the 90s, the school budget was $1.5 billion and we had 280,000 kids. Now the school budget's close to $4 billion and we have 110,000 kids. So explain those numbers to me. We're up to 38,000 exactly. per kid. 38,000, I could send my kid to French Select. You know?
All right. Well, we went on a rant. Anyway. So next week, tune in for our first-time home buyer mortgage program with down payment assistance for New Jersey.
All right.
All right. So coming up next is our question and answer segment.
All right, very good. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive all the time. We'll be right back.
Deanne and Mark are halfway through this week's edition of Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. When the show returns, more real estate news from around the Delaware Valley. This program is paid for by Good News in Real Estate.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive, all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
So, Mark, we're up to our question and answer segment.
So what's the first one?
The first question is, I have $20,000 for a down payment, but only have a 549 credit score. Can I get approved for a home?
With a 549?
Yeah, it's going to be a little rough. I mean, we would need to get you up to a 580. Most lenders are not going to do anything.
My question would be, how do you know it's 549?
Yeah.
Just like the Joe Smith joke last week.
Right.
Yep. This guy's name's Johnson, Smith,
right.
Sullivan. Who knows? His score might be a 620.
Yeah, that's true. So if you're using Credit Karma or something like that, that's not really going to be a valid credit score. But, you know, either give us a call. We can show you how to get it to a 580. And then you have the probability of getting approved for a home.
And in my experience, Credit Karma, usually the person's score comes in a little higher.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
Correct.
Yeah, talk to a mortgage lender.
Not a mortgage lender.
Talk to Deanne. Get a plan. The 48% of Philadelphia out there that's now paying $2,000 a month for a one bedroom, buy a damn house. Jeez, really? Louise.
What? Or at least
plan.
Exactly.
All right, what's next?
All right, the next question is, can the seller of a house refuse to let a prospective buyer see all the rooms in the house?
This is a weird one. Like, I've had done showings where I was going through a house and I got to one room and like the seller jumped in front of the door. Like, you can't go in this room at that moment. Well, what's in this? It's like the other rooms, but I can't let you in. Whatever was going on.
Right.
There was one, I think there was some real play going on and we interrupted.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, you know, eventually you're going to want to see this. So, you know, can we come back later? Or it's just a bed, unless they're hiding something, which would be stupid because there's going to be a home inspection.
Sure.
But they should give you a legitimate reason. Like, this room's a mess. We've just been sticking everything in there because we're moving. So I'd rather you not go in there yet. You know.
Grandmother's in there and she's not well. Yeah. Like, there could be a lot of reasons.
Or, yeah, somebody's sick, you know. And my daughter's in there and she's sleeping. I've heard lots of them. But but I've also caught some people in the act when it was on a lockbox. So you never know in real estate what's going to happen.
All right, we're moving on to the next one. What do you do when the home seller is not ready to close the deal on closing day? My closing date is coming up.
So this is an issue. This question comes up a lot because, and I'll tell you, a lot of times this is agents' fault for not keeping people informed on what's going on. But, you know, if this seller is not ready, there's got to be a reason they're not ready. And like, and hopefully it's not that they don't have a place to go, but
right,
maybe they have something on their credit they got to clear, you know, that, and because they can't sell, they can't get a clear title, who knows? But I would call my agent up, and that's their job. Solve these problems for you.
Yeah. What is the situation why you're not closing? I mean, that's the first question. I mean,
there could be, there could be a ton of reasons here.
Maybe, you know, they can do a rent back, you know, for some reason.
Maybe you do that, a purchase for, lease it for a month or so, because there's some crazy lien from 1967 that bank was sold three times and now is out of business and they're trying to clear that. And you're with some title company that says, I don't care, or prove to me that this is not you. That's not me. Prove it. How do you prove it's not me? I hate that one. I've had that happen to me in the past. And they say, well, this came up under your name. That's not me. Well, prove it. Well, how do I prove something that I wasn't involved in? You know what I mean?
Right.
So talk to your agents. There's always a way to figure it out.
All right. Last question is, what can happen if my partner lied on the marital status to the title company? She put single, and she bought and sold it when she was single, stating that she was single.
Which was stupid.
That's fraud.
Well, first of all, my partner. So they're not married. So that's different. Now, actually, if they were married, they were going to get a big tax break, which I'm going to talk about today. But she bought the house. She said they lied.
It has nothing to do. No, it has nothing to do with the partner. The partner is single when she bought it and single when she sold it. But the truth is that she's really married.
What can happen if my partner lied on the marital status to a title company? They said, maybe they said they were married.
I don't think it has anything to do with the actual partner. I think it has to.
She put single. Right. So she put single when she bought and sold it.
But she was married. Right. I don't know. All right.
Really sneaky kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Man.
But the bottom line is that, you know, you're committing fraud. I mean, anytime you lie on your application, because she lied on the mortgage application to begin with, you know, which depending on what state you're in, could be a problem, because, you know, when you're in New Jersey, it's a marital state. So, you know, your husband or your spouse owns 50% of that house. So
plus it costs you more taxes if you put single.
Right. All right.
Yeah. You get hammered more with capital.
All right. Well, that was definitely,
That relationship is probably over.
So it doesn't matter.
I think that was probably the final straw there.
There you go. All right. So coming up next is our topic of the day, and five sweet tax deductions when selling a home. Did you take them all? And get your pen and paper out, because you're going to need some notes.
So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive all the time. We'll be right back.
Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland is proudly being provided by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more in a moment, but first, a message from one of our home team partners, Greentree Mortgage. How much do you qualify for? Ask Deanne now at mortgagemom.net.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
So, Mark, we are up to our topic of the day, which is five sweet tax deductions when selling a home. Did you do this one for me?
Did you take them all? If you sell your house, we'll see.
You want to make a bet?
Yeah, I might on this one. I've seen you bail a couple of times, so.
One time.
Well, anyway, there's five sweet tax deductions when selling a home that renters are not getting, and the sellers, you want to make sure you take them all. You may be wondering if there are tax deductions when selling a home. The answer is you bet. Sure, you may remember way back in 2018 in the tax code, aka Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, changed some rules for homeowners. But rest assured, if you sold your home in 2022 or are planning in the future, your tax deductions when you file with the IRS still amount to sizable savings. Want a full rundown of deductions at a home seller's disposal? Check out this list. Anyway, selling costs. These deductions are as long as they are directly tied to the sale of the home. If you lived in the home for at least 2 years out of the last five, another caveat, the home must be a principal resident, not an investment property. You can deduct any costs associated with selling the home. This includes legal fees, escrow fees, advertising costs, real estate commissions. All that can be deducted. Now, some of them can be some pretty high fees. This could also be included home staging, maybe even some repairs you did. You know, talk to your accountant about some stuff. They might come up with some ideas for you. Just remember that you can deduct these costs in the same way, say, as mortgage interest. Instead, you subtract them from the sales price of your home, which in turn positively affects your capital gains tax. I got more on that. The home improvements and repairs. Score again. If you renovated a few rooms, make your home more marketable. Like I just did a Curbio sale. $26,000 in repairs. That's a write-off. That $26,000 write-off. To fix the house up, sell it. My seller didn't put a dollar out of their pocket. Great program. One of our sponsors. You can deduct those upgrades costs as well. This includes painting, repairing, the roof, the water heater, whatever. All those costs that you spent on that house right before you sold it, you can deduct. So you want to keep track of all that stuff. But there's a catch. It comes down to timing. If you needed to make home improvements in order to sell your home, you can deduct these expenses as selling costs as long as they're made within 90 days of closing. My Curbio thing, it was exactly that. Property taxes, this deduction is capped at $10,000. So if you're dutifully paying your property taxes up to a point when you sold your home, you can deduct the amount you paid in property taxes up to $10,000.
That's no help.
Renters don't get that. Mortgage interest, as with property tax, you can deduct the interest on your mortgage for a portion of your you own the home. Just remember, under the 2018 code, new homeowners can deduct the interest on up to $750,000 of their mortgage debt. However, homeowners who got their mortgage before December 15, 2017 continue deducting the original amount up to $1 million. Note that the mortgage interest and property taxes are itemized deductions. So use an accountant. Don't be doing your own taxes. This means that for it to work, if I had to do this by myself, there's no way I would remember all this.
I know.
All of your itemized deductions need to be greater than the new standard deduction, which the Tax Cuts and Job Acts nearly doubled when it went to effect. To make matters a tad more complicated, those figures changed once again in 2022, reflect rising inflation, increasing to $12,950 for individuals and $19,400 for head of households and $25,900 for married couples filing jointly. Now, I guarantee a ton of people that own a house in Philly are doing their taxes or not aware of all these and are missing. Imagine missing a $25,000 deduction, you know?
Wow.
Capital gains tax for sellers. Capital gains rule technically isn't a deduction, but you still like it. As a reminder, capital gains are the profits from selling your home. Whatever cash is left, paying off your expenses, plus any outstanding mortgage debt. And yes, these profits are taxed as income. And Uncle Joe, our president, wanted to make this 39.6% in the Build Back Better bill. Thank God that didn't pass. But the good news is you can exclude up to $250,000 of capital gains from the sale if you're single, and $500,000 if married. The only big catch is you must have lived in your home at least 2 years out of the last five. But thank God, Build Back Better didn't get passed. Imagine paying 39.6% capital gains plus your other taxes. That you might doing a 50-50 split with the government. It's ridiculous.
I'm never selling.
And remember that capital gains are calculated in the cost basis of your home, not the original purchase price. What's cost basis? Say you purchased a home for $400,000 and spent $100,000 on improvements. You could have a cost basis of $500,000. A married couple could then sell the home for $500,000 after living there 2 years without having to pay any capital gains tax. In other words, the higher your cost basis, the smaller your tax bill once you sell. So just remember to keep track of every single home improvement receipt. And finally, look for all the rules of these exemptions to change. So that's why you need an accountant. And accountants right. are not that expensive. And you write them off too.
Right.
And if they save you just a couple of those deductions, it was worth it. I gotta do some research and find out what percentage of people do their own taxes. I bet you it's a big number.
Yeah.
Especially with electronic filing. And that's why they like it, because you're not going in there and looking for these big deductions that you don't even know about. And the IRS is not going to be giving you hints. Hey, you missed one. I don't think that's what they do.
Right.
So anyway, there are five great reasons to own a house. And then when you're selling, you deduct all that off your taxes.
Excellent topic.
And renters don't get any of those benefits. Right. Plus, they're paying the seller's mortgage. And the seller gets all those benefits when they sell. So, whatever.
All right, Mark. So, we are up to our business segment with Asking Dr. A. And today, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. What is it and what isn't it as it pertains to the real estate profession?
Hey, Dr. Abelson. How are you?
I'm doing terrific, Mark. And how are the two of you?
We're good.
Excellent.
And this AI, first explain to the audience what it is, because I am telling you, in the real estate industry, once you got a real estate license, everybody's trying to sell you something. And they are selling this AI like wildfire. Like everything's going to be automatic and all these buyers and sellers are just going to come to you automatically without you doing anything. And they're dropping out of the business like crazy, realtors, right now. But the new ones that are coming in, especially out of my school, they know they got to make phone calls. And that's the one thing that these agents aren't doing. And they think all this automation is going to get them away from that. And that's probably some to do with their DISC, because some of them just don't want to pick up the phone. But tell us what AI is.
Well, AI is different depending on how it's going to be applied. All it really is mathematic analytics behind the scene that you really don't understand or know what's going on. All right. And what happens is very, very bright people come up with these analytical approaches and ways to do things. All right. Things aren't automatic. All right. As a realtor, you're still going to have to make those calls. I mean, people don't spend hundreds of thousands, in some cases, millions of dollars with a robot. All right. They want to have a relationship. They want to know who you are. And this scare happened like 20 years ago when there was all this, you know, talk about analytics was going to have an impact at that time. But what happened was people who believe that are no longer in the business, and people who establish relationships with buyers and sellers out there are. And that's always the way it's been. And that's always the way it will be. But for example, let me give you an example. As far as analytics are concerned, we're using artificial intelligence to help predict performance. That makes total sense, because what we're doing is we're identifying the characteristics of a set of 50 some odd characteristics that are most closely related to performance on different positions. Okay. So it's just an analytical approach to understanding what needs to happen and what you should be hiring for. That's what we're doing analytic wise. But for people who think that everything's going to be done for them via the computer, well, as you said, it's a rude awakening, because that's not how the real world works.
No. I just watched the speech by Gary Cower, and he was talking about like getting back to basics. Like, you need to pick up the phone. You need to call your database. That's the relationship. The conversation is the relationship. The rest of it's all reminders. And if you talk to people, real estate is the one topic that everybody wants to know about. I don't care if they're renting, they own, they want to know what's going on. And just sending emails and calendars and automatic this and automatic that, That's a reminder. If you talk to somebody, that's a relationship.
You need to have a relationship. And one of the things that we're looking at is, I mean, we're looking at behaviors. We're looking at what motivates people. We're looking at what their habits are and how they relate to an individual job. If you're a manager in one franchise, all right, that doesn't mean that the same characteristics are needed for a manager in a different franchise. Every different franchise and these large independents and these small companies have different ways of doing things. So therefore, you need to have different types of characteristics in your people that are managing it and working it. Same thing with the agent. What you need to do as an agent is you need to remember you can use these analytics as helpful tools, but it's all about the relationship.
Yeah. And there's no shortcuts to doing the work. And if it's not in your calendar to call everybody every day, it don't exist. So tell her, let's
well,
continue.
Well, there are shortcuts, that. But you still have to have
this
relationship.
Let's continue this next week.
So if people are interested in how we can help them AI-wise or how we can help them realistically with their staff and or who to hire, just contact me at succeed@abelson.net, ABELSON.net, or dr.a@abelson.net.
Yeah, there's so much misunderstanding about that topic.
Thank you, Dr. A. All right. If you have any questions, you can email them to Mark at 8029@comcast.net or give him a call at 267-266-5501. You can email me at dnketsaris@comcast.net or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
A special thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in every week and our sponsors for keeping us on the air all these 14 years going into 15. We hope you tune in every Saturday at 1 o'clock and listen to us. And with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Katsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All positive,
all the time.
Thanks for listening to Good News in Real Estate. If you'd like to contact Mark Cumberland or Deanne Katsaris or listen to any of their past shows, go to goodnewsinrealestate.com. This program is paid for by Good News in Real Estate. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Good News in Real Estate or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. This program has been pre-recorded.